There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh, my sweet children of isolation. It's BudPod 57.
BudPod 57, and Phil here sounding better than ever. That's right. I finally invested in a Mikey phone.
Phil's got himself up to date with the latest tech. He managed to get a raider from the wasteland to drive it over in an elaborately spiky, crazy motorbike.
Yes, it's a petrol mic. It is powered by the gasoline of the before years, but it's nice and crisp and it's straight to USB.
That's right, and that's the kind of technology they had in the before, isn't it?
It's a lovely bit of kit. This, I scratched it straight away. I'm so bad at keeping these nice. I have a terrible character flaw where I need things to stay pristine for the entire life cycle. Otherwise, I feel I have failed at owning a thing. And so,
yes.
And I have a feeling you probably have a similar impulse, Pierre. And I scratched this right on the front straight away. I just knocked it with my laptop and it's now got a little permanent scratch. I'm looking at it now. And when I dinged it, I went over, and you know that moment when you've dinged something and it's the equivalent of when you drop your phone and it's face down and, you know, it's all about that turnover and to reveal whether or not you've ruined your life.
The big moment, yeah.
The big moment. The big moment with when you've scratched something is, of course, will your thumb rub it off? My thumb did rub off the bit of paint that was there beforehand, so it is a real scratch. It's on there right now, and I just have to live with that now.
I have the same instincts, but I have the habits of a careless fool.
Yes.
So I keep doing it, and I'm unable to accept that I keep doing it, which seems like an unfair combo.
It is unfair. I wish I had the temperament of a clumsy person. There are people out there who are clumsy, just absolute klutzes. I have an ex like this. She was clumsy with everything, but she didn't care. And that's the dream. I'm clumsy yes. with things and I give a shit, which is like a living prison.
I felt like a wizard or maybe someone who'd spent a lot of time in a kind of ancient temple when a month or two ago I dropped something in my kitchen and like it was glass and it smashed everywhere. And it was a mess and like it had stuff in it and that was splattered everywhere. And I managed to just not react at all.
Wow. I mean, that sounds yeah. like you just turned into a psychopath.
Yeah, I just became like, I managed to like lock.
Like the particular, lock in. The particular pitch the glass made when it hit the ground went and it activated your psychopathy.
Yeah, it was it made me remember that I was supposed to, you know, assassinate a world leader years ago. But yeah, I just sort of I stopped and I looked at the mess as it was still sort of splatting.
Yeah.
And I just thought and I was in the flat on my own as well, so that helped because it was like, well, there's no need, like nothing is served by a reaction to this. And so with the chilling calmness of Hannibal Lecter, I just picked up the pieces and just dealt with it.
And just slowly slit your throat with it.
And then made sure that I slit my throat above the sink.
That's some growth, Pierre. You should be very proud.
Yeah, I don't know if I can access that part of myself again, but I'll try. I'll try.
This is a bit of... this is a phenomenon I've noticed that I've not heard anyone else say. Have you noticed that when you drop a glass, it breaks on the bounce? Have you noticed this? It drops, it thung, floats up once. Sorry, I just knocked the table there. You drop the glass, it thung, it bounces off the ground, seemingly intact, and then when it drops again from that lower point is when it smashes.
Yeah, it, well, especially if it lands on the thicker bottom part.
Yeah. Have you noticed that?
I've seen them drop on the first hit when they land kind of on the almost on the rim at an angle.
Right, that's instant.
Yeah, that's instant. But yeah, there's a there is a lot more bouncing than you would think with something made of glass or ceramic.
That's right. That's right. I always wonder if maybe the first drop sort of vibrates the glass in preparation to shatter. And
yeah.
The second, it's the old 1-2, the second drop finishes it off.
There's nothing quite like the incredible relief when something very smashable just goes boom and just sits there and isn't smashed.
Mm. Boom. Very
and,
smashable.
And you almost fear it. You think, but how?
Yeah, you think it's, physics has been suspended momentarily for your benefit, which feels great.
Yeah, yeah. Godlike powers. I think it's definitely a sign that we've both been indoors a lot, that we're sort of like really pondering what the glass is in our cupboard.
Yeah, kitchen physics.
Is that your new educational streaming?
Yeah,
channel?
That's my web series. No, we're all doing things that we didn't think we would be, and I've started kitchen physics. But I think unfortunately, too many of the experiments. Concern knives for it to be a children's show, so I don't think we'll get the clearing we need.
And you insist on doing it in Lycra, just like an exercise stream.
Yeah, just to save space in the kitchen. To keep yourself as compact as possible.
Wearing lots of sort of girdles and straps, yeah.
How's your isolation now, Pierre?
It's okay. I had a setback this morning where I've been getting a couple of commissions for drawing.
Nice.
Which is cool. And I've been posting them away to places like Ireland and America.
Gosh, are people emailing you with specific requests of what to draw?
Yes, yeah.
Is it like a street caricaturist, but they just have to send you a picture of their face and you draw them on the roller skates at home?
They have to send me an hour-long video of them trying to sit still in a plaza. And ideally in the video, they make sure that whoever's filming them pretends to be who they're on holiday with, going, "Oh, this is taking ages." And they go, shush, oh, it's going to be funny. And then, yeah, I have to, and they have to tell me three very common hobbies.
Yeah.
That I incorporate. Yeah, very much so. But basically, yesterday I went to try and post one of these things, and the post office had like a huge World War II queue.
Mm.
And I thought, screw this, I'm going to just get loads and loads of like hard-backed, like do not bend envelopes on the internet, like a cool guy.
Yep.
And I ordered the wrong size. So
too big,
I wasn't
too small?
Looking properly. Yeah, they're too small.
I guess you can't really be too big.
No, yeah. If like novelty check size, maybe.
Well, how have we got to the point where we're rationing letters?
Yeah, there's not enough of the abstract concept of post to go around.
Is that you blowing your nose, or do you just pull a chair across the floor?
It was a nose. Good guess.
Oh, okay.
This is a new feature.
Well, guess the noise.
Nose or chair, chair or nose.
Okay, Pierre, do you want to guess this noise?
Okay.
Here we go. Okay. So this is the first step. And then...
Oh, I know that noise from childhood. That's an asthma inhaler.
It sure is. Is it the Preventer or the Blue Ventolin?
Ooh, I'm going to say Ventolin.
Correct! You know your asthma inhalers.
I always... I got myself some Ventolin too. We're a couple of cool, athletic young men.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get hay fever, listeners. That's why I was blowing my nose. And it doesn't seem fair in a time of global plague to have an automatic plant jizz sneezing disease.
Yeah. Does this put you in a vulnerable group now, or is it just good old-fashioned bad luck?
I think it's just bad luck, and it does mean that, like, I'm the coronavirus equivalent of, in medieval times, if you had an old woman who just happened to live alone with a black cat.
Right, okay, yeah, you're going to get burned at the stake.
I'm going to get a lot of suspicion from my neighbors.
Yeah,
people in the street look at me askance.
Although, as we found out recently, listeners, Pierre and I and a few friends indulged in the now traditional act of the Zoom conference call pub quiz. And
yep.
Pierre chose a category of historic and notable deaths, of course. And it turns out that the majority of witches at the Salem witch trials were not burned, but hanged.
They were hanged, yeah. If you want to find people burning witches, you, my friend, have to go to France or Spain.
So just to give you all a taste of our Friday nights.
Yep. Everyone I know is doing some sort of Zoom quiz at the moment. And it's impossible to know what kind of effect this is going to have on British society. Do you think pub quizzes will be more or less popular? Like, will people be sick of quizzes, or they'll be like, you mean I can do a quiz out of my house?
I don't know. I reckon it's going to be like the DVD cinema debate. You know, people thought the cinema was over when the VHS was invented because people can do it at home. But nothing quite beats the atmosphere of a live pub quiz, Pierre. And I think that's something the fat cats at DVD Towers just don't understand. Not DVD Towers in this case, but Zoom Mansions or wherever Zoom is. Based.
Zoom secret Zoom headquarters somewhere under the earth. Like, I, what do you think it's like to be the guy who invented Zoom? Who's like, well, I guess this makes video conferencing slightly more convenient.
Well, that's
suddenly
the thing, isn't it? It's sort of like Uber, where you go, well, everyone's using this, but what exactly has been invented? Because it's basically the same as what we've always had.
It is kind of impressive that someone's gone like, someone's nailed it this much, like the guy from Zoom, just by inventing an app for video calling that doesn't suck.
Right.
Like, what is it about, like, so many apps are like the app to go to just because, I don't know, like, whoever designs all the other apps was like, well, of course, we don't want more than two people to do anything, and ideally it should take ages and break a lot.
Well, that's exactly it. I recently downloaded and bought the script writing software Final Draft.
Ooh.
Whereas beforehand, I'd use the either cheap or free, I can't remember, Keltex. And the difference between the two is that Final Draft, it just works.
Yeah.
They're the same software, but one works. So you pick the one that works, and so they have a monopoly. And that's pretty much it.
Well, see, Phil, I've gone rogue, and I actually bought Scrivener.
Wow. What on earth is that? Is that the Duplo
scriptwriting.
Of scriptwriting software?
Yes, I think I've bought the Pepsi and you've bought the Coke.
Like, you're correct. You've gone and got the Meccano, have you?
Yeah, I think so. And it was fairly reasonably priced. It was like 50 quid or something, so that's not too bad.
No.
But it seems to work. I mean, it does a lot of the format. It does all the formatting for you, thank Christ. For listeners who don't know, this is a bit inside baseball. When you write a script, all the different bits about what's happening in the script have to be in different, like, fonts and in capital letters and positioned on the page differently. And if you try and do it in Microsoft Word, you will end up killing everyone you know and then yourself.
Yeah. And then not even being able to write a good script about it.
Yes, exactly. And then people will look at your script to think, what work of art drove this man insane? It must be incredible, like the Pieta. And it's just like a sketch about a man whose bum likes to smoke.
Speaking of sketches, listeners, you've got to check out Pierre's brand new online sketch show, Cuts, which was released yesterday for episode one. Was it just episode one? Will there be more?
There'll be more if we're allowed outside of our houses to make more.
Okay. So episode one is a content so far.
Yes, it's a sort of pilot for something that may never exist, but it was a lot of fun to make. It's on the Turtle Canyon Comedy YouTube channel for now, and the cast is just kind of everyone, isn't it? I was quite pleased with the cast.
Yeah, it's got the Daphne boys, Jason and George, together in, I think, the jewel in an already very nice crown of sketches. I won't spoil it, but it's so funny. Pierre will put up the link to it, I'm sure, on Instagram and stuff. It's great. It's really well cast. What's nice is that there's loads of different people who only do one role each. It can get tiring when people just repeat. You know?
Yeah.
And
it's
also,
funny, isn't it?
You've timed it very well because at the time when you made it, I'm sure it would have felt like you were producing it on a shoestring budget. But now, compared with everything else that people are able to make, it is like the fucking Godfather, the quality, the production values.
It looks like Avatar, yeah.
I am Glanthar, the Unbreakable One. Welcome back to the pub quiz. Now, the answers round. Let's see who will survive this round of the Thunderdome questions. That's right, the questions about the establishment and history of the Thunderdome. So, for those of you who asked who was the guy who first came up with the Thunderdome, it was Ganache, who found the DVD of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and copied the idea. Hail Ganache! And anyone who didn't get that question correct is, of course, going to go into the Thunderdome. Takesies, backsies, and you better have handed your quiz to the next gang of wasteland raiders for them to mark. Question two on the Thunderdome. Who was the first Thunderdome victor? It was I! It was I. Anyone who did not recognize my achievement in slaughtering my foes in the Thunderdome there, again, you are going in the Thunderdome. The bonus question is about who was the architect who designed the Thunderdome. It's Frank Gehry. It's Frank Gehry.
They've spelt Gehry wrong. Can I still give them the point?
Of course you can give them the point. Who wouldn't give them the point if it's clear that they knew who it was? They just don't know how to spell an unusual name. I'm afraid you're going in the Thunderdome. Okay, right. Round two. The killing.
But yeah, in essence, guys, check out Cuts, the new sketch show from Pier Novelli. It's very funny.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Phil, have you done any more hobby-style activities?
No. I just want to play my video games, you know. People keep bothering me with emails and asking me how I am. And it's like, I'm fine. Leave me alone.
I did have a thought about isolation the other day where someone was like, oh, let's do another thing, or let's do this, let's do that. And I did think to myself, let me have this.
Yeah, let me just have this. Why? I actually did
the whole
write...
world is frozen. Let me just have this one time where I know for a fact that everyone has to be like this.
I wrote about this for our friend Rebecca Austin. Pierre has started an online repository of comedians' diary entries called the Nothing in the Diary Diary, which is a very good name.
Yes, it's very good. It's on her, what's the website? I've contributed.
Fine
I've
and
contributed.
Dandy, yes. It's called fineanddandy.com, I think. So check that
fine
out.
Fineanddandy.com.
And Pierre's got a diary entry in there, which is very funny. And I've just submitted mine, which will be up in
nice.
A few days, I suppose. And yeah, I was just saying, like, let's not waste... If we're among the lucky people for whom this period is not completely life-changing and traumatic, but is a sort of suspension of life, like, make the most of that, right? Just sit the hell down. You don't have to be making something or improving or growing all the time. And I'm starting to get frustrated with people being like, I made a Rube Goldberg machine with my children. It's like, leave it, no, you don't have to.
Yeah, you can just enjoy yourself, for God's sake.
Yeah, by then I guess I have zero responsibility to anyone but myself.
Yeah, well, that does help. I know a friend of a friend who does a sort of wellness thing on Instagram. And I'm very against their attitude to sort of exercise and things, because they're one of those people who say things like, while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, why not do 20 push-ups, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, and I always think to myself, why don't you practice some mental hygiene and just do push-ups at the gym where the push-ups happen?
Right, or in modern case, the floor elsewhere. Because also, like, yeah, there's nothing you want more after a load of push-ups than a hot drink, is there?
Every time I do exercise, I think, I wish there was a boiling drink for my mouth. But it's that thing of, like, why don't you just have a cup of tea and relax and then have the push-ups done in the morning or in the evening? Like, not everything has to be... It to me, it comes across as a symptom of terrible anxiety.
Yes, it is. It's about trying to hold on to control, I suppose. Control over your body and yourself, which I understand. But, I mean, the thing is, this is probably likely to go on so long that you will have time to get out of shape and then get back in again.
Yeah, people could come out of this looking the same and no one understands they've been through hell and back.
Yeah.
They could go full, like, late Marlon Brando or Elvis and then just not again. And everyone's just, no one even knows. What a waste. What a terrible waste for them and their social media presence.
What's your record so far for days spent without leaving the front door, without going out the front door once?
Ooh, like how many of those have I done?
In a row.
Oh, in a row, probably only like one or two in a row, but it's sort of every third or fourth day if I'm not careful.
What do you mean, not careful?
Like if I don't remember that my eyes genuinely need to look at a horizon at some point or they'll get rotten.
Yeah.
I can just stay indoors like an astronaut for quite a long time.
Yeah.
People like us who played a lot of video games and stayed indoors a lot growing up have been training for this our whole lives. And if anything, we're too good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really easing into this, you know. I'm leaning into the isolation. I've done 3 days in a row. I think that's my record so far.
That's a lot.
I was talking to my friend last night and she's gone 17.
No.
17 days in a row.
Does your friend speak in only a whisper now?
She's forgotten how to speak English. Now, 17
she speaks
days.
She speaks a dialect that's developed in her home.
Yeah, which I couldn't believe. That was amazing.
Why has she done that? Is she infected or is she afraid or what?
I don't know. Probably afraid. She has face masks. And
so she doesn't infect her reflection.
I don't know, you know. I really don't know. I guess she's just being overly cautious.
That is really impressive. Like, I think you qualify for NASA.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I think I might go out today. I might go for I need a run today probably.
Well, it's different for you because I live on the first floor, whereas listeners Phil lives up, from memory, I think 37 flights of stairs. And so if you leave your house, you've got an absolute hill to climb just to get back into your house.
It's not a great home to forget something in. I've often gotten down onto realize the one thing I needed to take out is still upstairs, and that'll add 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and also, like, I live in a block of flats, but we've got like a kind of small courtyard thing with like a bench in.
Yeah, that's right.
And so sometimes I can go out and sit on the bench like a pensioner and just be in the wind outside and look at the sky and go, ah, yes. Like someone, I feel like a politician who's under house arrest.
Yeah.
Like, I criticize the regime, but not that much. They just need to make a show out of me. And now I have to basically just live in my flat.
Yes, sort of late stage Aung San Suu Kyi.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Late house arrest Aung San Suu Kyi, yeah.
Yeah, back when she was still golden. Everyone's golden girl. I do love the fact that, like, it's such a great twist. It's like, we finally got her out. And we were like, what was it? What were you doing all the time that you were in there? And she was like, thinking about how much I hate those Muslims. Thinking about how necessary it is that we burn all those Muslims out of that part of the border. You think, wow, no, she went evil indoors. Oh, fuck.
It was quite, to use a wrestling term, the heel turn.
Yes. And a very season 11 of Burmese politics or whatever.
Yeah, the writing for Burmese politics has got a bit crazy. Do you reckon that's what Burmese Twitter was like for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Burmese, all 11 government sanctioned Burmese Twitter accounts were like that for a bit.
This is something I need to ask you.
Yeah.
I was having a quarrel with my friend. Now she
a quarrel.
She lives with her brother, and sometimes she will wear her brother's boxers as pajamas.
What?
Is that? And I said that's really weird. And when he sees her wearing his pajamas, his boxers, he's like, oh, come on, like that. But it's sort of like, not a big deal. But I said, that's very strange.
Do your friend and her brother live in Pornhub?
Right, because that's definitely the vibe I get.
It's so creepy. I don't like that at all.
I know. Thank you. I thought, because she was like, oh, my friends think it's fine. I was like, who are your friends?
Are your friends Lannisters?
Well, that's a relief. That's a relief to hear.
That's so weird. What did she think? Like, I'll get those clothes that only touch my brother's dick and balls, and I'll wear those. And his asshole.
I mean, this is exactly it. It's it's grotesque. It's gross. I'm no prude, but even I have to draw the line at sibling lingerie.
I need to know how this started, even.
I mean, it must be one of those things that started so long ago. It started in the days of innocence, and
do you
and
think
that's
it's
how it's continued on?
Well, see, I think that I can't imagine this is something that started when they were in the family home.
Why not? Well, because I guess little boys don't wear boxers, for one.
Yeah, but
if
also, like,
if you saw
like
a little boy wearing a pair of boxers, you'd feel threatened. I think, like, does he want to fight? I'd feel, like, scared.
If I saw a young boy wearing boxers, I would automatically, like, visually, I would see him as also having a lit cigarette. It would automatically fill in my field of vision.
And a sleeveless white t-shirt with food stains on it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think this didn't happen in the family home, because when you're young and in the family home, like, ugh, that's my sibling's underwear. It's a bit, like, more, like, visceral.
Right, yeah.
And it's, like, more like, hey, don't touch my stuff or whatever. I think they've ended up living together. And, like, when girls live together, they nick each other's clothes all the bloody time. Like, my older sister and my younger sister have, like, they swap, but also they have fights about borrowing and things like that. Or they used to.
That's why they're called knickers.
That's what... Well, yeah. Well, this is it. So I reckon she's, like, got that habit, and now she's, like, misapplying it to her own brother, because that's just who she lives with.
Oh, well, she did go to girls' school. She went to girls' school.
Ah.
That's
like a boarding school.
Yeah. Girls' boarding
school.
Yeah,
she's picked up creepy, sexy boarding school habits, and now she's applying them to her brother's dick and ball shields.
But isn't the other thing you learn at girls' school that you can't trust a boy's hygiene sensibilities? Like, how much trust does she have in her brother's dedication to cleaning his fucking drawers?
She must be nicking them straight from the laundry. I mean, I fucking hope she is.
Now she gets them from she gets them from a vending machine she's built in the house that she asks him to stock. She got it shipped from Japan.
Yeah, she makes sure she only takes them after he's been for a massive jog.
Oh God,
it's so gross. That lady.
I'm relieved to hear this. I'm relieved to hear this.
When we stop recording, I need to know who this is so I can find them revolting. Oh, my word.
Oh, good. I thought I was a crazy one.
No, I'm fascinated as to the... Like, I could do a whole case study on how on earth that's even come about. That is truly bizarre.
Some families are like that, though. It's weird, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like that thing where... I know every family's got stuff that you consider to be a bit weird. But then there's a limit. There's always a limit where you go, now it's not just within the bell curve of like, we all cook a little differently. This is properly weird.
Mm. Yeah, there are some families that are too familiar with each other. I think being part of a family, it should be they're part friends, part colleagues. You know, a family home should feel a bit like a workplace. You know, I think there should be kind of a professional distance between members.
I knew a family growing up where if any of their kids were like overly angry about something or they were being unreasonable, the parents would almost try and like negotiate or teach them out of it.
If they were being what, sorry?
Like if they were having like a tantrum, right? Or if they were getting really upset about something that was a bit stupid.
They'd have like a meeting with the kids' lawyers.
Yeah. They would subpoena their child. Yeah. No. No, they'd be all like therapeutic about it, which sounds nice, but also like sometimes if it was really unreasonable, I would think like even sitting there as like a child, I would think I'm on the side of what my parents do, which is just to say, shut up, stop being so silly.
Right. Well, but have those kids grown up? That you're talking about.
Well, they're super, super emotionally comfortable and literate, but they are like not very good at suppressing their feelings. Yeah. So it has a side effect.
Right. As in, they just say what's on their mind all the time.
Yeah. Or they sort of like their gut instinct is that all emotions are valid and they can just immediately express them. And then you have to go, no, it's very silly to be angry about this. And they go, oh, you're right. And then they stop. But it's like,
well, that sounds good. It sounds like they're very emotionally flexible.
Yeah, very flexible, but it's sort of like you always have to talk to them from the point of view that what they've done is already valid, as opposed to going, you're immediately being insane here, stop it.
Okay, so you have to be like, I understand why you burnt down that preschool, but let's consider the negatives. You have to be like that.
Yeah, I know that it feels like they were talking about you at the other end of the room, and that's why you beat them to death with a chair, but they weren't. They were just talking to themselves while they were on their phone. Yeah, so it's not always good to do that. But yeah, this whole domestic situation sounds... Especially, like, you know what's really lent it a sinister air is that I would have found it a bit creepy and incestuous before, but especially in the context of them being locked in a house together.
I think it'd be worse if they lived in different houses and she snuck over.
Like a burglar, yeah.
Like the burglar from Sims.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The music would suddenly change and she'd creep in with a stripy jumper on.
The most terrifying moment in video games, I'd say.
Yeah, when you're a kid, that sudden sinister music. You go, oh no, fuck, that burglar! He's going to steal that lamp that makes my sim better at maths.
Yes, okay, well, I'm glad I wasn't losing my fucking mind and that it is in fact this person who is crazy.
No, yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Shall we do? Oh, we said we were going to do tat, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Let's do some tat.
Nice. Hey, kids! Time for another episode of Kitchen Physics with me, Phil. Today's episode is about heat.
Heat is incredible. It cooks your food, it keeps you warm at night, and it's really, really fun. Try this out. Put an empty pot of water. Well, it's not empty then, but put a pot of water onto the stove and turn on the fire. Wait a while. Turn off the fire. You might now think the water is cold, but no, it has retained the heat. Try it out. Dip your hand in. Does it hurt? That means it's still hot. Congratulations. You're a scientist now. Kitchen physics. Today's episode is about radiation. Radiation is an incredible, magical, invisible power that flies through the air. Your microwave oven uses it. Follow the steps that I posted on my website to disable the fail-safe that stops a microwave when you open the door. Once you've done this, open your microwave door and turn it on for a couple of minutes. Stick your hand in front of the open bit and have a feel. Is your hand getting warmer? That's microwaves! Isn't it incredible? Kitchen physics! Today's episode is about alcohol. Alcohol is a fun and magical liquid. It is good to drink and it can make things burn. Try this. Take a gulp of your parents' alcohol, whiskey or vodka, whatever, and then turn on the fire on the stove and then spit out the alcohol in a big cloud. It should ignite and explode in a fun and beautiful way, like fireworks in your house. Impress your family. Kitchen physics. Hi kids, today's episode is about the justice system. The justice system is this mean and nasty system that stops nice men from doing fun things. Since last episode, I have been arrested by the justice system. I am now in a prison waiting for a trial. I've been charged with negligence and conspiracy to burn mummies and daddies. But don't forget to tune into my new show, Prison Physics.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's 1 o'clock somewhere.
Give me the coffee and no one gets hurt.
Bless this mess.
I like two things, pals and Prosecco. And I'm all out of pals.
One Prosecco, two Prosecco, three Prosecco, floor.
If the wife asks, I'm working.
Keep calm and keep drinking tea.
Tat Attack!
All right, everyone. It's Tat Attack. It's been a while. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Not that there hasn't been tat accumulating. Tat doesn't sleep.
Tat's like dust. It'll never not be a factor.
There's tat floating about the universe, and we'll never know exactly how much, but it's still floating out about there. I think actually we're due next month. Some tat is going to fly very close to the Earth. It should just miss us. but do keep an eye out.
And of course, the Mars rover is looking for evidence of tat on the surface of Mars. they think there might be some tat just below the surface, but it's hard to tell.
It would be evidence, of course, of unintelligent life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. A tat level culture.
Well, this I have from Sophie on Instagram. And there's a lot going on. For one, it's on a car door right by the handle. And the car itself is sort of a metallic baby blue. And it says, in cursive, it's one of the classic two fonts.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
In cursive, it says, dance. And then right under it, in Arial, all caps, like nobody's listening. So it says, dance like nobody's listening.
Wow.
I mean, that is next level tat. That's the tat's gone to your... It's gone into your brain at that point, the tat.
Yeah, and also I like the fact that in my like the fonts are kind of the wrong way around. Like it should be like as a sort of instructive tense. It should be like in Arial capitals, dance, and then like no one's, you know. Like,
right. Early. Yes, you're right.
Whereas instead it's dance like no one is listening.
Also, what's interesting about dance like nobody's listening is that someone's main hesitance when dancing is not how they look, but the sound they make when dancing. Like they love the movement of tap dancing, but they find the tapping just excruciatingly embarrassing.
Or they're in a sealed room dancing, and there's loads of people pressing their ears up against it, going, "Hey, whoa, what's that? What's that?"
Favorite dancer, the soft shoe, obviously, is the only one you can get away with.
I have been sent some good stuff from Becky.
Becky! Very sweaty. Becky, what the hecky?
What the hecky, Becky, on Instagram. And these are, I believe, mini hanging signs. So these hanging are signs that you hang.
Oh, okay. So they're not signs like hanging next weekend. They're not like signs for a public hanging.
They're not signs advertising the soon to be hanged deeds and misdeeds of a highwayman. No.
Okay.
They are painted in what I would call Cath Kidson colors.
Lovely.
And so this first Empire. Hanging sign. Yeah, but like if the British Empire was all pastels.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this first one is, I would call it almost turquoise sort of blue.
Okay.
And it says, the letters here are kind of pressed in with gold lettering. And it says, 7 billion people on the planet, and you're my favorite.
Right, yeah. So you're as in the reader, any reader of the sign.
Yeah, if you see the sign, you are the sign's favorite.
If you are a pervert living next door and you've managed to find an angle where your telescopic lens catches this sign, you are now this person's favorite person in the world.
It's like a horrible wanking man in an attic looking through a telescope. And he goes, wait, what's that? And he zooms in and he goes, "Aw,
I knew it!
I knew they're sending secret signals."
You are the... Wow. Also, there's a presumption there that this person has met 7 billion people.
Yes. Yeah. And also speaks a great deal of languages.
Yes. Because it's so presumptuous when people go, "Of all the people in the world, I love you." It's like, no, of all the 2,000 people you've met... 1,000 people you've met? It's still pretty good odds. It's a pretty impressive number, but it's not 7 billion.
Yeah, of the few thousand people I've met and the few hundred people I can claim to know in any capacity.
Of the select group of people who have happened to come across me in my specific life journey, you are the best in the world.
Yeah, and the exception to this rule is those weirdos who fall in love with historical figures.
Oh, really?
Well, they're just sort of like obsessed with Genghis Khan or Napoleon or something, and they sort of... sometimes you see that headline about like a lady...
If it's Genghis Khan, that's like extremely distant incest, isn't it?
If they're from a certain, most of continental Europe, very distant.
It's like really fancying Charlemagne. It's like, come on, that's your great, 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 great. 2 hours later, great, great grandfather.
Yeah. Or every now and then you see those headlines about like a lady marrying a ghost.
No church in the country would sanctify that union.
No, I mean, not even if it was the Holy Ghost, especially not.
That's really marrying up the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Oh, what a gold digger. What a ghost digger.
She's just with him for the ectoplasm.
She's just with him to get into the kingdom of heaven. God's sake. There's a few more signs, Phil.
Oh, yeah?
This one is a sort of dark cherry color, cherry red, sort of purpley. Yeah, and it's in gold here. And what annoys me initially about the writing on this, Phil, is that it's justified to the left, format-wise.
Yeah.
So it's not like centrally justified, like it's a poem.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the left-hand side of the lettering is all in one line, and gotcha. The right-hand side is all jangly, and I don't like that. So that's my first critique here. And the writing says, some girls are just born with glitter in their veins.
Ugh. How many?
A deadly ailment.
Horrible. I think there's a treatment for that now. Some girls have glitter in their veins. How many lines is that spread across?
Four.
Some girls have glitter in their veins?
Some girls are just born with glitter in their veins.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it doesn't take up the whole sign either. It's very weirdly printed. And if your baby came out and it had glittery blood, so you'd immediately they'd be like, "Did you fuck a birthday card? Why is your kid?"
Oh, there'd be questions about blood. Who the father was. If it was me, I'd have some very difficult questions for my wife.
Is this? Did you have sex? You said you didn't have sex with Peter Pan.
You've been fucking the moon pig man, haven't you?
It's that moon pig money. I'm gonna tear his customized congratulations on the birth of your child card in front of you. Tear it right up.
Oh man, that's terrible.
Yes, glittery veins. The next one, dark blue. It says today's forecast: 99% chance of wine.
Oh, it's a classic. It's a classic. That's part of the 100 steps of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a percent every day. So I think this person has just started their recovery. Tomorrow it'll be 98, and then 97. Good. It's a long process.
I like
process,
the idea of someone who's trying to stop drinking expressing how stressed they are, how much they want to start drinking again. It's like weather forecasts.
How are we today? Oh, 99%. Oh, God.
Oh, shit. There's a 99% good. Chance of wine today. Oh, fuck. I think there's a 14% chance of crack.
tell you what, at the moment, there's a 100% chance of some booze in my house. Man. It's like Christmas every day here. I'm just drinking every day.
You being a booze boy?
Being a little booze boy.
Well, I finally got my crate of free Beer 52 beers.
Yes, one of our new sponsors, Beer 52. Are they sponsors? But yeah, they sent us some beer. They're really delish.
It's good. I was one of them. It's just a little can, but it's like 9% or something. So I'm treating it like a shotgun shell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as in shooting it into your own face when you've had enough.
99% chance of
shotgun pellets to the face.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna start making tat fill, but for jacking it.
Taps.
Tat.
Oh, tat. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna start doing like today's forecast: 99% chance of wanking.
It's o'clock, it's like somewhere.
Just really wholesome tat for someone who loves wanking. Some boys are just born with their dick in their hand. 7 billion people on the planet, and I'm going to have a wank now.
In this house.
That kind of thing.
We... what's a cutesy way of saying...
In this house, we leave the door open when we wank, because we're a family. That would work for your friend and her weird underwear habits.
Yeah, these sound like the signs she might have in her family home.
Well, she might have this sign, Phil. It's pink, and it says, "Roll me in fairy dust and call me a unicorn."
Oh, what does that even mean? Is that a threat?
I don't know. I didn't think... I don't know why a fairy... Why would the dust of fairies be on a unicorn? They're not necessarily the same.
Are they known for barreling into fairies' homes and stealing their dust? Crushing them to death, in the Great Fairy Unicorn Wars?
I like the idea of, like, you know, in a movie where you have, like, a Vietnam commander.
Mm-hmm.
And he's chomping on a massive cigarette, and he's wearing like a vest with grenades on and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's got aviators. I like the idea of him looking out at a bunch of jungle trees and seeing Viet Cong there and saying, "Well, roll me in fairy dust and call me a unicorn."
I love the smell of glitter in my veins.
I love the smell of fairy dust in the morning. You better watch your tongue, boy, or I'm going to cut your throat and watch the glitter come out.
Gosh, I need to watch more Vietnam movies.
Yeah, man, you've got time now. You have time to do nothing but watch Vietnam movies if you feel like it.
It's true!
Have you watched any more movies? You only watched Silence of the Lambs for the first time the other day, Clarice.
I did.
Have you watched any more?
That was really good. I watched some Studio Ghibli.
Ooh! Which ones?
My Friend Totoro. And Princess Onoke?
Mononoke.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I've saw that on Netflix. I should watch it.
I've still not seen Spirited Away because everyone's seen it. So I've gone on to... So can't watch it with my sister because she's seen it. I'll probably have to watch it at some point. You know what I mean?
It's definitely worth a gander. It's good.
Oh, no, I'm sure. I'm sure it's good. It's nice escapism. What else?
It's just nice that there's kind of anime movies that people can watch without their virginity growing back, you know?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Or turning into an alt-right internet troll.
Yeah, the only culture you think is as superior as white culture seems to be Japan for some reason.
But it's never Japanese people. It's always...
The porn.
So I mean sort of like those... like crazy troll accounts on Twitter and stuff always have an anime avatar.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know.
It's going to make history books very confusing.
Is it just the conflation of people who live in their basements?
I think so. And I think like it's almost become like a self-aware thing now. Like, but it doesn't work in the same way that self-aware tat is still tat.
Right, I see. Because while you're still doing the bad thing, it doesn't matter that you know you're doing the bad thing.
Yeah, because they're still just like, God, imagine if I was lame enough to sincerely have an obscure anime, slightly pedophilic character as my home screen. And you go like, well, no one knows you don't mean it, and you know who the character is, so you've clearly watched that shit.
Right, yeah, exactly, okay. Yeah.
Like you haven't escaped this by just like doing it anyway. That's not a clever way of getting around it.
As postmodernism has only just hit the internet, Pierre.
It's only just hit the basements around the world. And one final sign, Phil. So after the last one about fairy dust and unicorns, we're now getting quite realistic and cynical, which is very strange. Gear shift.
Yeah. Wow. What would this be? Nihilistic tat. Nihilatat.
Oh, that would... Life is meaningless in curly-whirly writing. Yeah, that would be good. So this says, life is not a fairy tale, which is immediately comes as a shock after the previous one.
Yeah, I'm buying the book.
Life is not a fairy tale. If you lose your shoe at midnight, you're drunk.
Oh, that took me too long for what it was.
Yeah.
Life is.
It just seems like people who read Tat are constantly pissed on wine and gin and covered in pink tassels.
Is that why they're all in cursive? Because they can't keep their fucking hands straight.
Yeah, I think so. Or to make sure that they can't be read.
Well, I think that
early enough to absorb the wisdom.
It makes sense because Tat is only funny to the kind of dull person who thinks, you know, going to the pub is cheeky.
Yes, yeah. God, imagine if we went and had three drinks. You know, that's what everyone's doing.
You're in one of the most alcohol-ridden countries on earth. What do you think? Yeah, what other options did anyone have to do this evening?
The cheekiest thing you could do is to go to that same pub and only drink juice all night.
Yeah, suddenly you're the most frightening person in the pub.
People would find you chilling because it would mean that you were in that Wetherspoons for the vibe.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't drink, but I just really like it in here. I like the people who stand too close to me while I'm ordering and cough on my hands. I like it.
I like the bright lights and the vomit-inducing carpets. I like it.
I like the microwaved food. I like it. I like it.
Oh, God, I miss Wetherspoons. And now...
Yeah, we all miss it. We miss it. We miss the Ruddles.
Now it's cancelled. Even once this is over, will Wetherspoons still be cancelled because of the things Tim Martin has said?
I think it's going to be like everything that's cancelled, which is that everyone says it's cancelled and then keeps doing it anyway. And just there's this kind of tacit agreement that we won't tell the two people on Twitter who would actually care. And they're probably in the Wetherspoons too.
That is true. Also, I reckon now is the time to get cancelled because no one's going to remember, right?
Yeah, it's a good time to be cancelled. Or do you think that the ferocity
It's like having
of the,
an affair during the Second World War. It's like, people will forgive.
Everyone will just think, look, a lot was going on. or do you think people being glued to their phones and unproductive all day means that they'll have more energy to tweet stupid rage at you?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I think because sort of inaction begets inaction, and if you don't, you just get more slothful the less you do. So I think people are actually getting lazier.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, this is the prime time to be cancelled, Phil. So if you have anything, just do that now.
Okay, I'll leak something.
And special thanks I was going to say to Mary.
Mary.
Yeah,
I think I've gone through all the Mary rhymes at this point.
Yeah, I think so. But Mary has handmade her very own Bud Pod Tat.
Wow, like a crochet.
And it's like a, you know when it's those things where it's like a circle of fabric and you stitch into it. Is that cross stitching?
Yes.
And people write like bless this mess and. Home is where the heart is or whatever, and a little house with smoke coming out, that kind of thing.
Of course, yeah.
Well, she's just done in black thread. Beautiful cursive, which must be really difficult to do with thread. It just says, keep on jacking it, and there's a few flowers.
Oh, beautiful. I'd like to see this.
It's very nice. I'll send it to you now. But that's... I have no context for how long that might have taken you, but I'm impressed regardless.
That's real commitment. I mean, if I'd done, that's like, what's impressive about that is that you didn't get through the first few letters, that you didn't get to through keep and go, actually, this is a bad idea and not worth my time.
you were totally aware of what you were doing as you slowly stitched the word jacking.
and kept your patience so as not to mess it up. Like sticking your tongue out, really concentrating.
I've often thought that about the guy who did the oil painting of Hitler.
Right, yeah.
He's just really thinking, oh, I've got to get the shading right on Hitler.
Yeah, you know they animated every hair on his mustache separately.
Hitler was actually played by several people with those ping pong ball suits on.
Yeah, Hitler is actually played by Andy Serkis. People don't know this. It was his it was his first major role, really.
Yes, and not only that, he doubled up. He played Hitler and the first year of the war.
Huge role.
Stretching even for someone of Serkis's talent.
Oh, this isn't Tat, but it's quite a nice message. I thought I'd read it. I got it on Instagram also from Alex, a pod bud who lives in Paris. He's in quarantine in Paris right now, in Le Quarantin. And she says, I've been listening to Bud Pod so much during the quarantine here in Paris that when I met my neighbor for the first time yesterday on the balcony, she asked me if I lived with two English guys because she'd heard us laughing. I wonder if Alex has been saying stuff back to us.
Yeah, or does her neighbor think like, wow, those two English guys really don't let you get a fucking word in.
Yeah. They're rude. They're funny, but they're rude. I think they're probably quite so sexist because they don't seem to value your input or ask for it at all.
Yeah, and if it's an old lady neighbor, they'll be like, well, I'm glad you laugh when your friends, who are your male friends, constantly talk about jacking and shitting around you. But, you know, they should think before they speak.
By the sounds of it, they're just chatting to each other while they watch you clean the house and cook.
And every now and then they try and pressure you into buying some beer or something. Oh boy. I think that's the episode.
Yes, that is another episode of Bud Pod there, Quan Pod. Thank you all for listening. Hope it's going okay. I feel like the weeks have started to go by quicker.
Although, I think so. Although I did a thing the other day where I was like, "Oh my god, I it's been ages since I talked to that guy," and I checked, and it was 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's happened with a few things. Yeah, I've had moments where I've gone like, there's still a couple of things I need to get done, a couple of little jobs I need to sort right with deadlines, and I've woken up going, "Oh my god, I was supposed to do that," and then I realize, "Oh no, I still have like 6 days."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've done that where I've got the days wrong, and I thought, well, it's going to be absolute chaos. And it's like, no, you have forever. You have forever to do this.
Time enough at last.
But yeah, that's it. Hope you guys are keeping safe and keeping indoors, and keep jacking it.
Keep jacking it, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.